Hola y bienvenidos a Dímelo. Hello and welcome to Tell Me About It. This is episode 7 and it's on a cloudy, rainy, stormy July night. My last episodes have been while I've been driving or when I'm stationary in my car waiting to go into work and having my egg white delight and Mac Joe advertising. I'm just kidding. But I've been seeing so many things lately that, well, I think it's time we deal in a new deck of cards. Because the more I want to recycle my cards, the less good hands I have left. We saw the craziness and heard the craziness of the children at the border. Now it's, let's find them, their parents. Where are the parents? Where are the children? That's on one hand, or in another card, let's put it that way, part of another deck. Let's serve a new deck of cards. Every time I post something on my Facebook page, I get so many of you thinking, so many of you riled up, ready to take me on. But what is so intriguing to me is that while I'm reading your posts, I'm noticing the interaction between all of you. Some may say something sarcastic, and some may say some things or post some things outright disrespectful. I find it so, it used to be disturbing, it used to be amusing, but I find it now intriguing that we just finished celebrating 242 years of the birth of this nation, for whom we are all arguing about who its leader should be and who its leader should not be. I don't want to quote some of those who post things on my timelines, but why is it so important for you, especially you, yes, you, that takes the time to troll my comments or my posts and try to convince me that I am wrong? I'm not doing that with you. You have the right to express yourself, to state what you believe in. After all, I was taught that what you believe in, eventually, it's almost a decipher of who you really are and how you think. But for you to think that I can be easily let's say ruffled. It's an impossible thing to do. I am a very eclectic, different type of thinker. You could never pinpoint my way of thinking or my way of expressing my ideologies. Someone who I respected and thought was a good friend insulted me outright by calling me a demo rat. Wow. Because I did not believe in this POTUS's platform. They don't need me to be another fan. They have plenty of fans already. Why get one more? If all I keep hearing and seeing and reading, that we will get more and more of this, and that MAGA is the way to go. Now, granted, for as long as I can remember, I never heard my parents say otherwise about this country. I never heard my family members or some of my friends saying, oh, this country is not great anymore. I never heard that. Never. So for people to feel that this country needed to be great again, I find it like a fairy tale or a fairy tale like. It's a fallacy. I never needed to. It's like someone telling me, I'm going to make you a new cup of coffee, a coffee that is going to make coffee beans be great again. Coffee is coffee, just like America is America. Many that know me know that I have very, how should I say, unconventional way of thinking sometimes, but yet sometimes very conventional. And that confuses many of them. But then many of them also admire that. You see, for me, my understanding of being American and of loving America was that I can say and do as I please. For I pay my share into being American. I go by my duties of being American from the minute that I wake up to the minute I lay my head on my pillow. I am a law-abiding citizen like everyone that I know. And there are some that, because they just make stupid mistakes, they too know that I am very strict in how I say and do things. But let's bring it down so that some of you can understand what I'm talking about. Let's get to know how Anna thinks. Because after all, that's what you're constantly wanting to challenge me at. I am not a person, let me tell you, to challenge. I'm not. Because in order for you to go and challenge someone, you must know their weaknesses, and you must know that if you are going to challenge them, you better challenge them for a very good reason. And that reason can only be one. And it's called about winning. You never go into a battle to just simply battle. What's that all about? No. When you go to a battle, you're going to win or lose. There is no tie. There is no such thing that everybody goes home with a trophy. You see, my lovers of freedom, my admirers of freedom, freedom is a delicacy. It's something special. It's something you must revere and guard with all of your might. That might must include knowledge, tenacity, and humor. And I got plenty of all of those. So, why is it then that it confuses people when they see me criticize someone of my own party? Why does it bother you? After all, don't you criticize family members? Aren't they of your group? Huh? Or is there something that I don't know about criticizing those that are so close to me and those who are not? So let me get back on track again. So when I tell you, or I write down and post things such as, I don't like the fact that a war hero is constantly being bashed, especially when this war hero right now is fighting cancer, brain cancer. A man that had been beaten to such a pulp that his face is disfigured and he can't even lift his arms the way other people can. Because he simply chose to do something different. He is being called a traitor by some people who posted that way on Facebook. Find that most interesting. And then the same thing about the Bushes. And then the criticizing of a woman because she has the tatas to yell and let you hear her, let her express herself, let her fight for her constituents. And for those who believe in her, wow. So now you can't be a woman with gusto or with tatas. Tatas, for those if you don't know, they're like cojones for men. And so we traveled to another part of the country and we hold rallies. Why? Are we trying to convince ourselves that we're still great? Why is that? Why would we need to do that? After all, you're the big kahuna right now. You don't need to do that. But you do need to save those constituents' lives by not allowing a major motorcycle company to leave. By inflicting tariffs that, well, most of those people from those areas, they can't go to Bloomingdale's for a pair of socks. They need to go to Walmart. And in Walmart, if I was to look at every single package and every single gondola and every single four-way rack or slat wall, I would say that 89, maybe 90% of the products are not made here. So, if a pair of socks made in, let's say, China or Bangladesh cost me 99 cents, and tariffs have been inflicted on them, and then the buyers down in Bentonville, Walmart, major home base, can't buy those socks. Now my socks are not going to cost me 99 cents. They're going to cost me $2.99. And you damn well know that I will be mending them socks when I wash them because I can't afford others. Go visit your Walmart. Go visit your Target. Go visit your Kohl's. Visit all of these big box retailers. And look at the labels. Look at your bed sheets. Look at your electronic products. Look at everything. How is someone, tell me, going to pay for new school uniforms, for new shoes, new sneakers? They can't all be Nike. They will all have private label sneaks from Walmart or Payless. I can't get my child $60 Nikes, but I can get all three of my kids $20 sneaks from Payless or from Walmart. And you know why that is? Because it is still in this country where we have still not buttoned up on some major factors that always keep on with every election cycle. They tend to get swept under the rug. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we're too damn crazy going to rallies and feeling like we are part of something. We are part of something that's screaming at us that we need to be part of that. We just have to, no matter what, blindly go off for the clip and forget about everything else. Why are we not addressing for those people, that base that lives in the Rust Belt, that lives in a town that maybe only has 3,000 inhabitants? and yet jobs have shut down and they have empty warehouses, empty factories. And the little old guy who has that little general store that sells everything, including 99 cent socks for just a little bit more. We're driving out of your town and going to the next town that's bigger to go to one of those big box retailers. And save as much money as you can, because you have to buy a month long worth of goods so that you and your family can live off for a month and then wait again until that check comes in of whatever you are going to do, whether it's to paint a house or mend someone's fence, cut someone's lawn, sew up some hems for some of the gentlemen that work in some of the offices or fire department or whatever. Your wife is trying to make that extra buck to stretch that buck, to stretch it. Why are we not addressing a living wage? Why is it so hard for people to understand whether you are a liberal or a conservative? That we need to address living wages. Because even in that little town that's far away from everything, on $7 an hour, they can't pay their rent and they can't pay their utilities. And it's going to be ramen noodles for 30 straight days. How do we make a country be great again if we cannot take care of our own? How can we put a roof over the head? And I'm not talking about handouts, ladies and gentlemen. Don't misunderstand. Read between the lines, baby doll. We're talking about people like you and I. People who have respect, people who have courage, and people who are proud. No matter what color of skin they are, no matter what bloodline runs through their veins. Because let me tell you, baby, in all of us, there's a little black, there's a little Latino, there's a little Indian, there's a little Asian, and there's a little Anglo / European. You are no better than me. Let's get that straight right now. My concern is how, without having to give, can we make it great for these people? Why are we insinuating or inflicting or injecting them with hate that they are those of us who have taken this from them? Or do we forget that it was someone much bigger than you and I who did this? What we need is for that little man or that little woman to be able to feel proud that they have a little roof over their head that they can afford to pay and say, it's mine. I don't owe it to anyone. I don't have to thank the government for giving it to me. No, I worked for it. I'm able to put food on the table, real food, not waxed off noodles that who knows what they're doing to the insides of my family and myself, that later on down the road, my health insurance is not going to be there to pay for it to make me feel any better? Why is it so difficult for you who represents us to understand that $7 an hour is not cutting it for most of Americans? And I'm saying it right now, most Americans. And the way that map is flooding, it's going to look like for a huge majority of Americans. Because they're not the minorities anymore. They are the majority. And they are screaming. Can you hear them? They're tired of people telling them, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. But then someone comes along and says, I'm going to show you how to fix it. No. Don't bullshit bullshit artists. Okay? Do what you were placed to do. Why is it that people want to come to this country and sacrifice their children walking across land and terrain and rain? And why? Why are they wanting? Because they hear and they see so much of our country that is so wonderful and so beautiful. But they don't see what our Americans here are going through. And so those Americans see those people sacrificing everything just to come here, and they will take $4 an hour. And then, of course, you hear the outcry. They're taking my jobs away. Well, guess what? You're fighting for a job that you want to get paid more for. So how can you even say such a thing? What you should be doing is you should be generating a force, generating a people, influencing, injecting them with the will that you need to get things done. This thing about an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment for almost $1,000, for crying out loud. What the hell? It's not like you're living on, you know, middle class. You're below that in some areas in this country. That you go to the grocers and you, guess what? You only got 30, your budget is $30 a week for your groceries. So you make a list of where you can find something. Okay, I'm going to go to the dollar store and get this crap that they sell there because this is all I can afford. Then I'm going to jump over to Save-A-Lot and get the meat there because I can get these patties at this and that, 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 that. And then I'm going to jump over to this other place and this other place and this other place. Just to get to that $30 budget mark. My lights, my utilities. When I leave the house, I'm going to have to turn all the lights off and I will turn off the hot water heater. Okay? That's all I can say. My phone? I have to have a special plan for my phone. It's like getting cigarettes from somebody else. I can only smoke a certain amount for my pack, so I'm hanging out with my buddy over here says, hey, can you, you know, spare a stogie? Okay? I've seen people who actually cut their cigarettes in half. This is how bad things are. All right? Or those who sit with you sometimes, you're going to finish that? At a restaurant? And you're like, what's going on? those people who get sick, when they tell you things like, I can't afford to get sick, they mean it. Do you know what it is to have an existing condition? And that they want to change it where it's going to cost you so much more because you have an existing condition? I'm screwed because I'm a type 2 diabetic. My husband, quadruple bypass surgery years ago, but he's on a plethora of medicines. I didn't ask to be a diabetic. I didn't expect to be one. My husband didn't expect to have in his DNA issues with his arteries and his heart. It just happens, carajo. So those people in the Rust Belt where you're making these awesome rallies, what are their conditions? Are they eating steak tartare? I'm not saying that we have to give them steak tartare or give me steak tartare because I would not eat raw meat anyway because then I'll get sick as a dog and then I can't afford to go to the doctor. But I think that the first thing that those that represent us should start looking at the cost of living because no human being should live any less. But then again, there are those who abuse it. Oh, yeah, go have babies. Government will take care of them. We shouldn't waste our brains, our intelligence, our capabilities of being more than what we can be. Because everyone that is born in this country starts out with the same opportunity. And that opportunity is called life. You are a living, breathing being. This thing of, I can get food stamps and get me an EBT card and get myself lobsters. Heck, I work 40 plus hours a week and I don't eat lobster. Because I have responsibilities and I like to put the key in the door and say, this is my house. And yes, I can lay my head on my pillow. And thank God I have electrical power. And I have, of course, something to eat in the fridge. And I have my family with me. But again, I keep on asking you, where are those jobs? Why can't they have jobs in that Rust Belt over there that they keep on saying that it's the base that got him elected? Where are those jobs? We are going into the third year, sir. I keep on hearing from the Bureau of Labor Statistics every month. Oh, this amount of jobs were brought in. But ladies and gentlemen, again, let me take you full circle and take you back to what I was saying before. Living wages, non-existent. Full-time hours, non-existent. Yes, you hear of jobs being placed out there, but majority of those jobs are part-time. And that person that got that part-time job has two other part-time jobs. And so now the fabric of family within the structure of the American dream is being debilitated because that man or woman is too damn freaking tired to attend to his family's needs, which are usually sit next to me and watch TV with me, Daddy or Mommy? Can you help me color, Mommy, Daddy? Can you put me to sleep, Mommy, Daddy? That, ladies and gentlemen, is what I get effing pissed off. I said it. How are we going to pay for children who want to get out of that cycle to go to school? Not everyone has money to go to school. Not everyone has the gusto or the bravado to say, you know, let me bite the bullet. I'm going to have to go to a school where I have to pay to go. But I need to get out of this rut. I can't be making $8, heck, not even $9 an hour to live. I can't take care of my children. We're living in a place where the roaches eat better than them, where I have to make sure we're sitting low in our living room because the walls are too thin that anyone driving by, if they're shooting or something, can just outright take me out and my family when they were actually going for the next house. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the America that I am talking about that should be helped. I wasn't raised with a silver spoon in my mouth, ladies and gentlemen. I was raised in the South Bronx, okay? I was not raised in the best of the best, but I was raised with principles and an idea that anything is possible. My mother worked three jobs. She worked part-time in a grocery store, helping out my stepfather. She worked part-time as a home health aide, and she worked part-time as a florist / wig, hair wig stylist. And we were still struggling, ladies and gentlemen. We were still struggling. Because handouts was something that my mother and my stepfather just could not conceive in their mind of doing. They said, we're not that bad off that we have to do that. We don't have to stand in a church line to get one bag of groceries. We don't have to go and stand somewhere when that day they're giving free shots. We don't have to do that. We have a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, that was in 1972 through 1976. We are in the year 2018, and we are still seeing this. I am still seeing reflections of this behavior, of this lack of humanity. So when you see people posting things on Facebook, oh, the liberals this, oh, and the conservatives that, we don't have anything in the middle anymore. You have either gone off the right cliff or the left cliff. And both of you are holding on by your fingernails, trying to get back onto your platform. I'm standing in the middle looking at both sides and wondering what the hell is going to happen next. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a new wind in the air today. A young lady, millennial, all of a sudden came out of nowhere and took down a 10-term incumbent in New York City. And I'm afraid that we're going to be seeing a lot of more superstars such as that. Now, I'm very revolutionary in my ideas. Liberal in some concepts, but extremely conservative in a lot of my methods. And maybe that may sound crazy to you, but this is exactly how one of my favorite governors of the island of Puerto Rico stated it best. We need to start being smarter, not greater. We need to go back to the concept of what is America. We can't be making enemies of people that cry to us to help them out because supposedly we owe them money. I'd like to know, how have we owed so much money all these years and all of a sudden someone comes up with the bright idea that we are not going to help you anymore? Why all of a sudden now the credit is overdue? What's that all about? Is it actual? Is it fact? Or is it just another talking point? Now we're talking about another thing also. We know what is going on in one of my beautiful sister countries, Venezuela. Why was it allowed to happen? Why did this country allow that to happen? With all the interest that we should have in this hemisphere, we are the Americas. Nosotros somos las Américas. No somos Europa. We're not Europe. We're not Asia. We are the Americas. The new hemisphere. The new frontier. And we allowed this. We allowed it from one party to affect Cuba. And then now we have another party that allowed it to affect Venezuela. How much more dying do you need to see in the streets, sir? Oh, wait. I just heard that you're considering invading Venezuela? What in the right mind are you? Is this how you plan to save Venezuela? With all due respect, I love my countrymen and countrywomen of Venezuela. Don't allow this crazy scheme. It's enough war torn right now that's going on with what's going on down there. I can't conceive in my mind La Avenida Bolivar, Sabana Grande, anything like that being bombarded because of an invasion to oust this nut that's leading, well, not even leading that country. He is misguiding it, and he is leaving it in such a turmoil that it's just unrecognizable to me if I was to go there today. What my advice is, y te lo estoy diciendo para que me lo digas a mí, aquí en Dímelo, is to go and call and write and text and email and Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter to your representatives that this is a formula for chaos. Let's work smarter. Let's do smarter. Let's be smarter. And let's be the America. That men in a room in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, 1776, all signed their names to a document opposing a superpower and declaring their independence. We have a lot to work to do. We have a lot of work to do. But we need to do it smarter. And if they're not doing it smarter, November of 2018, you must do what is right for you, for your family, for your neighbor, for your countrymen, and for the world. You must do right by all of them, for he is watching us all. So there you have it, my friends. It took a little longer than I usually do, but I got inspired. And for those who are constantly challenging me on Facebook because you're confused on how I relate current events with my ideology, then you really don't know who I am. So, this is episode 7. Thank you. God bless you. And to all my freedom fighters out there, my gladiators, feel free to drop me a note on Facebook. En dímelo. Hola y bienvenidos a Dímelo. Hello and welcome to Tell Me About It. This is episode 7. And it's on a cloudy, rainy, stormy July night. My last episodes have been while I've been driving or when I'm stationary in my car waiting to go into work and having my egg white delight and Mac Joe advertising. I'm just kidding. But I've been seeing so many things lately that, well, I think it's time we deal in a new deck of cards. Because the more I want to recycle my cards, the less good hands I have left. We saw the craziness and heard the craziness of the children at the border. Now it's, let's find them, their parents. Where are the parents? Where are the children? That's on one hand, or in another card, let's put it that way, part of another deck. Let's serve a new deck of cards. Every time I post something on my Facebook page, I get so many of you thinking, so many of you riled up, ready to take me on. But what is so intriguing to me is that while I'm reading your posts, I'm I'm noticing the interaction between all of you. Some may say something sarcastic, and some may say some things or post some things outright disrespectful. I find it so, it used to be disturbing, it used to be amusing, but I find it now intriguing that we just finished celebrating 242 years of the birth of this nation for whom we are all arguing about who its leader should be and who its leader should not be. I don't want to quote some of those who post things on my timelines, but why is it so important for you, especially you, yes, you, that takes the time to troll my comments or my posts and try to convince me that I am wrong? I'm not doing that with you. You have the right to express yourself, to state what you believe in. After all, I was taught that what you believe in, eventually, it's almost a decipher of who you really are and how you think. But for you to think that I can be easily ruffled, it's an impossible thing to do. I am a very eclectic, different type of thinker. You could never pinpoint my way of thinking or my way of expressing my ideologies. Someone who I respected and thought was a good friend insulted me outright by calling me a demo rat. Wow. Because I did not believe in this POTUS's platform. They don't need me to be another fan. They have plenty of fans already. Why get one more? If all I keep hearing and seeing and reading, that we will get more and more of this, and that MAGA is the way to go. Now, granted, for as long as I can remember, I never heard my parents say otherwise about this country. I never heard my family members or some of my friends saying, "Oh, this country is not great anymore." I never heard that. Never. So for people to feel that this country needed to be great again, I find it like a fairy tale or a fairy tale like. It's a fallacy. I never needed to. It's like someone telling me, I'm going to make you a new cup of coffee. A coffee that is going to make coffee beans be great again. Coffee is coffee, just like America is America. Many that know me know that I have very, how should I say, unconventional way of thinking sometimes, but yet sometimes very conventional. And that confuses many of them. But then many of them also admire that. You see, for me, my understanding of being American and of loving America was that I can say and do as I please. For I pay my share into being American. I go by my duties of being American from the minute that I wake up to the minute I lay my head on my pillow. I am a law-abiding citizen like everyone that I know. And there are some that, because they just make stupid mistakes, they too know that I am very strict in how I say and do things. But let's bring it down so that some of you can understand what I'm talking about. Let's get to know how Anna thinks. Because after all, that's what you're constantly wanting to challenge me at. I am not a person, let me tell you, to challenge. I'm not. Because in order for you to go and challenge someone, you must know their weaknesses, and you must know that if you are going to challenge them, you better challenge them for a very good reason, and that reason can only be one, and it's called about winning. You never go into a battle to just simply battle. What's that all about? No. When you go to a battle, you're going to win or lose. There is no tie. There is no such thing that everybody goes home with a trophy. You see, my lovers of freedom, my admirers of freedom, freedom is a delicacy. It's something special. It's something you must revere and guard with all of your might. That might must include knowledge, tenacity, and humor. And I got plenty of all of those. So, why is it then that it confuses people when they see me criticize someone of my own party? Why does it bother you? After all, don't you criticize family members? aren't they of your group? Huh? Or is there something that I don't know about criticizing those that are so close to me and those who are not? So let me get back on track again. So when I tell you or I write down and post things such as, I don't like the fact that a war hero is constantly being bashed, especially when this war hero right now is fighting cancer, brain cancer. A man that had been beaten to such a pulp that his face is disfigured and he can't even lift his arms the way other people can. Because he simply chose to do something different. He is being called a traitor by some people who posted that way on Facebook. I find that most interesting. And then the same thing about the Bushes. And then the criticizing of a woman because she has the tatas to yell and let you hear her, let her express herself, let her fight for her constituents and for those who believe in her. Wow. So now you can't be a woman with gusto or with tatas. Tatas, for those, if you don't know, they're like cojones for men. And so we travel to another part of the country and we hold rallies. Why? Are we trying to convince ourselves that we're still great? Why is that? Why would we need to do that? After all, you're the big kahuna right now. You don't need to do that. But you do need to save those constituents' lives by not allowing a major motorcycle company to leave. By inflicting tariffs that, well, most of those people from those areas, they can't go to Bloomingdale's for a pair of socks. They need to go to Walmart. And in Walmart, if I was to look at every single package and every single gondola and every single four-way rack or slat wall, I would say that 89, maybe 90% of the products are not made here. So, if a pair of socks made in, let's say, China or Bangladesh cost me 99 cents, and tariffs have been inflicted on them, and then the buyers down in Bentonville, Walmart, major home base, can't buy those socks, now my socks are not going to cost me 99 cents. They're going to cost me $2.99. And you damn well know that I will be mending them socks when I wash them because I can't afford others. Go visit your Walmart. Go visit your Target. Go visit your Kohl's. Visit all of these big box retailers and look at the labels. Look at your bed sheets. Look at your electronic products. Look at everything. How is someone, tell me, going to pay for new school uniforms? For new shoes, new sneakers? They can't all be Nike. They will all have private label sneaks from Walmart or Payless. I can't get my child $60 Nikes, but I can get all three of my kids $20 sneaks from Payless or from Walmart. And you know why that is? Because it is still in this country where we have still not buttoned up on some major factors that always keep on with every election cycle. They tend to get swept under the rug. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we're too damn crazy going to rallies and feeling like we are part of something. We are part of something that's screaming at us that we need to be part of that. We just have to. No matter what. Blindly. Go off of the cliff and forget about everything else. Why are we not addressing for those people, that base, that lives in the Rust Belt, that lives in a town that maybe only has 3,000 inhabitants, and yet jobs have shut down and they have empty warehouses, empty factories. And the little old guy who has that little general store that sells everything, including 99 cent socks for just a little bit more. We're driving out of your town and going to the next town that's bigger to go to one of those big box retailers. Save as much money as you can because you have to buy a month long worth of goods so that you and your family can live off for a month and then wait again until that check comes in of whatever you are going to do, whether it's to paint a house or mend someone's fence, cut someone's lawn, sew up some hems for some of the gentlemen that work in some of the offices or fire department or whatever, your wife is trying to make that extra buck to stretch that buck, to stretch it. Why are we not addressing a living wage? Why is it so hard for people to understand whether you are a liberal or a conservative, that we need to address living wages? Because even in that little town that's far away from everything, on $7 an hour, they can't pay their rent and they can't pay their utilities. And it's going to be ramen noodles for 30 straight days. How do we make a country be great again if we cannot take care of our own? How can we put a roof over the head? And I'm not talking about handouts, ladies and gentlemen. Don't misunderstand. read between the lines, baby doll. We're talking about people like you and I. People who have respect. People who have courage. And people who are proud. No matter what color of skin they are, no matter what bloodline runs through their veins. Because let me tell you, baby, in all of us, there's a little black, there's a little Latino, there's a little Indian, there's a little Asian, and there's a little Anglo/European. You are no better than me. Let's get that straight right now. My concern is, how, without having to give, can we make it great for these people? Why are we insinuating or inflicting or injecting them with hate? That there are those of us who have taken this from them. Or do we forget that it was someone much bigger than you and I who did this? What we need is for that little man or that little woman to be able to feel proud that they have a little roof over their head that they can afford to pay. And say, it's mine. I don't owe it to anyone. I don't have to thank the government for giving it to me. No, I worked for it. I'm able to put food on the table. Real food. Not waxed off noodles that who knows what they're doing to the insides of my family and myself. That later on down the road, my health insurance is not going to be there to pay for it to make me feel any better. Why is it so difficult for you who represents us to understand that $7 an hour is not cutting it for most of Americans? And I'm saying it right now, most Americans, and the way that map is flooding, it's going to look like for a huge majority of Americans. Because they're not the minorities anymore. They are the majority. And they are screaming. Can you hear them? They're tired of people telling them, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. But then someone comes along and says, I'm going to show you how to fix it. No. Don't bullshit artists. Okay? Do what you were placed to do. Why is it that people want to come to this country and sacrifice their children walking across land and terrain and rain? And why? Why are they wanting? Because they hear and they see so much of our country that is so wonderful and so beautiful. But they don't see what our Americans here are going through. And so those Americans see those people sacrificing everything just to come here, and they will take $4 an hour. And then, of course, you hear the outcry. They're taking my jobs away. Well, guess what? You're fighting for a job that you want to get paid more for. So how can you even say such a thing? What you should be doing is you should be generating a force generating a people, influencing, injecting them with the will that you need to get things done. This thing about an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment for almost $1,000, for crying out loud. What the hell? It's not like you're living on, you know, middle class. You're below that in some areas in this country. That you go to the grocers and you, guess what? You only got your budget is $30 a week for your groceries. So you make a list of where you can find something. Okay, I'm going to go to the dollar store and get this crap that they sell there because this is all I can afford. Then I'm going to jump over to Save-A-Lot and get the meat there because I can get these patties at this and that, 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 that. And then I'm going to jump over to this other place and this other place and this other place. Just to get to that $30 budget mark. My lights, my utilities. When I leave the house, I'm going to have to turn all the lights off and I will turn off the hot water heater. Okay? That's all I can say. My phone, I have to have a special plan for my phone. It's like getting cigarettes from somebody else. I can only smoke a certain amount for my pack, so I'm hanging out with my buddy over here says, hey, can you spare a stogie? Okay. I've seen people who actually cut their cigarettes in half. This is how bad things are. All right. Or those who sit with you sometimes. You going to finish that? At a restaurant? You're like, what's going on? Those people who get sick, when they tell you things like, I can't afford to get sick, they mean it. Do you know what it is to have an existing condition? And that they want to change it where it's going to cost you so much more because you have an existing condition. I'm screwed because I'm a type 2 diabetic. My husband, quadruple bypass surgery years ago, but he's on a plethora of medicines. I didn't ask to be a diabetic. I didn't expect to be one. My husband didn't expect to have in his DNA issues with his arteries and his heart. It just happens, carajo. So those people in the Rust Belt where you're making these awesome rallies, what are their conditions? Are they eating steak tartare? I'm not saying that we have to give them steak tartare or give me steak tartare because I would not eat raw meat anyway because then I'll get sick as a dog and then I can't afford to go to the doctor. But I think that the first thing that those that represent us should start looking at the cost of living because no human being should live any less. But then again, there are those who abuse it. Oh yeah, go have babies. God will take care of them. We shouldn't waste our brains, our intelligence, our capabilities of being more than what we can be. Because everyone that is born in this country starts out with the same opportunity. And that opportunity is called life. You are a living, breathing being. this thing of, oh yeah, I can get food stamps and get me an EBT card and get myself lobsters. Heck, I work 40 plus hours a week and I don't eat lobster because I have responsibilities and I like to put the key in the door and say, this is my house. And yes, I can lay my head on my pillow and thank God I have electrical power. And I have, of course, something to eat in the fridge. And I have my family with me. But again, I keep on asking you, where are those jobs? Why can't they have jobs in that Rust Belt over there that they keep on saying that it's the base that got him elected? Where are those jobs? We are going into the third year, sir. I keep on hearing from the Bureau of Labor Statistics every month, oh, this amount of jobs were brought in. But ladies and gentlemen, again, let me take you full circle and take you back to what I was saying before. Living wages, non-existent. Full-time hours, non-existent. Yes, you hear of jobs being placed out there, but majority of those jobs are part-time. And that person that got that part-time job has two other part-time jobs. And so now the fabric of family within the structure of the American dream is being debilitated because that man or woman is too damn freaking tired to attend to his family's needs, which are usually sit next to me and watch TV with me, daddy or mommy. Can you help me color, mommy, daddy? Can you put me to sleep, mommy, daddy? That, ladies and gentlemen, is what I get effing pissed off. I said it. How are we going to pay for children who want to get out of that cycle to go to school? Not everyone has money to go to school. Not everyone has the gusto or the bravado to say, you know, let me bite the bullet. I'm going to have to go to a school where I have to pay to go. But I need to get out of this rut. I can't be making $8, heck, not even $9 an hour to live. I can't take care of my children. We're living in a place where the roaches eat better than them. Where I have to make sure we're sitting low in our living room because the walls are too thin that anyone driving by, if they're shooting or something, can just outright take me out and my family when they were actually going for the next house. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the America that I am talking about that should be helped. I wasn't raised with a silver spoon in my mouth, ladies and gentlemen. I was raised in the South Bronx, okay? I was not raised in the best of the best, but I was raised with principles and an idea that anything is possible. My mother worked three jobs. She worked part-time in a grocery store, helping out my stepfather. She worked part-time as a home health aide, and she worked part-time as a florist slash wig hair wig stylist. And we were still struggling, ladies and gentlemen. We were still struggling. Because handouts was something that my mother and my stepfather just could not conceive in their mind of doing. They said, we're not that bad off that we have to do that. We don't have to stand in a church line to get one bag of groceries. We don't have to go and stand somewhere when that day they're giving free shots. We don't have to do that. We have a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, that was in 1972 through 1976. We are in the year 2018. And we are still seeing this. I am still seeing reflections of this behavior, of this lack of humanity. So when you see people posting things on Facebook, oh, the liberals this, oh, and the conservatives that, we don't have anything in the middle anymore. You have either gone off the right cliff or the left cliff. And both of you are holding on by your fingernails, trying to get back onto your platform. I'm standing in the middle looking at both sides and wondering what the hell is going to happen next. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a new wind in the air today. A young lady, millennial, all of a sudden came out of nowhere and took down a 10-term incumbent in New York City. And I'm afraid we're going to be seeing a lot of more superstars such as that. Now, I'm very revolutionary in my ideas. Liberal in some concepts, but extremely conservative in a lot of my methods. And maybe that may sound crazy to you, but this is exactly how one of my favorite governors of the island of Puerto Rico stated it best. We need to start being smarter, not greater. We need to go back to the concept of what is America. We can't be making enemies of people that cry to us to help them out because supposedly we owe them money? I'd like to know, how have we owed so much money all these years and all of a sudden someone comes up with the bright idea that we are not going to help you anymore? Why all of a sudden now the credit is overdue? What's that all about? Is it actual? Is it fact? Or is it just another talking point? Now we're talking about another thing also. We know what is going on in one of my beautiful sister countries, Venezuela. Why was it allowed to happen? Why did this country allow that to happen? With all the interest that we should have in this hemisphere, we are the Americas. Nosotros somos las Americas. No somos Europa. We're not Europe. We're not Asia. We are the Americas. The new hemisphere, the new frontier. And we allowed this. We allowed it from one party to affect Cuba. And then now we have another party that allowed it to affect Venezuela. How much more dying do you need to see in the streets, sir? Oh, wait. I just heard that you're considering invading Venezuela? What in the right mind are you? Is this how you plan to save Venezuela? With all due respect, I love my countrymen and countrywomen of Venezuela. Don't allow this crazy scheme. It's enough war torn right now that's going on with what's going on down there. I can't conceive in my mind La Avenida Bolivar, Sabana Grande, anything like that being bombarded because of an invasion to oust this nut that's leading, well, not even leading that country. He is misguiding it. He is leaving it in such a turmoil that it's just unrecognizable to me if I was to go there today. What my advice is, y te lo estoy diciendo para que me lo digas a mí, aquí en Dímelo, is to go and call and write and text and email and Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter to your representatives that this is a formula for chaos. Let's work smarter. Let's do smarter. Let's be smarter. And let's be the America that men in a room in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, 1776, all signed their names to a document opposing a superpower and declaring their independence. We have a lot to work to do. We have a lot of work to do. But we need to do it smarter. And if they're not doing it smarter, November of 2018, you must do what is right for you, for your family, for your neighbor, for your countrymen, and for the world. You must do right by all of them, for he is watching us all. So there you have it, my friends. It took a little longer than I usually do, but I got inspired. And for those who are constantly challenging me on Facebook because you're confused on how I relate current events with my ideology, then you really don't know who I am. So, this is episode 7. Thank you. God bless you. And to all my freedom fighters out there, my gladiators, feel free to drop me a note on Facebook. En Dímelo.